You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio alongside LeVar Arrington. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Welcome in. Hope you had a great Christmas. You're ready for a safe and healthy new year. It's one of those 2021 can't end quickly enough for so many people. LeVar, let's continue with the football discussion, and let's go to your former team, the Washington football team. Yeah. Right? Yep. Dwayne Haskins had an interesting week, right? Interesting week.
Very interesting.
Where, yes, he was at a gentleman's club.
They said he was hanging out with Doug Gottlieb.
Yes, he was, and
y'all was making it rain.
And here's the thing about gentlemen's clubs, right?
You got to
be a
gentleman.
You either are or you're not a strip club guy.
That is true. That's very true. Right. I'm not either.
And it's not because I don't want these lovely and talented women to go to medical school, as they're clearly all trying to save money for. It's just like, I don't know. It's not my jam, you know? I'm not saying I haven't partaken in the past.
Right.
It's just not somebody when I look at the bottom line of my bank account, I don't think that that a smattering of ones to a young lady is how I want to spend my good hard-earned money. Again, I'm not a moralist. You're allowed to do what you're allowed to do. But it's different during a pandemic when the rest of the league is depending upon all of these guys that just go home and let's just get to it. We are 2 weeks away.
Yes.
And maybe three if you're the Washington football team. 3 weeks away from being able to go to any gentleman's club anywhere in America or in a different country, however you want. So Haskins got the start because Alex Smith wasn't healthy. And Haskins has done a lot of good things in terms of throwing his support around Alex Smith in this incredible comeback story.
It's the best thing he's done since on the team.
No question.
Most impactful thing he's done since being on the team.
So yesterday he played poorly. He got replaced by Taylor Heinicke, who, if you didn't know, like, here's a guy who's bounced around. He was a backup in Carolina. All things point back to Ron Rivera trying to figure out somebody who knows their offense and bring him in from Carolina, as several of the backups have been from the Carolina Panthers. Anyway, this Haskins, after the game, he was asked about his mental state, and he said, "Definitely the hardest week of my life. I just want to bounce back and move forward and pray and get my life together. I really can't put into words how I'm feeling right now. You sign up for this job, so it is what it is. Sometimes being a human being isn't enough. You got to own up to your responsibilities and mistakes and put your best foot forward and pray for an opportunity. You never know when you'll get another one." You've not only been a great college football player and a great NFL player, but you've been a member of the Washington football team. When I say Dwayne Haskins, as of today, what do you think?
I think it's trending the wrong direction. And he said all the right things when he spoke, right? But somebody needs to wrap their arms around Dwayne, and Dwayne has to be open enough to accept some very, very harsh and stern criticisms and words. He has to adjust, and he has to adjust quickly because his value is plummeting. And plummeting in the way where not only will it make it difficult for him to maintain a roster spot with the Washington football team, it's going to make it difficult for him to get a roster spot with any National Football League team. And that's something that when you hear a guy speak the way that he spoke in giving an account of what he's feeling and what he's going through, they lost that game the weekend that he went to the strip club, right? Gentlemen's club. They lost. You become the starter, and in the week that you lose a game, as the starter, being back as the starter, then you risk it to do that, and then you get your captainship stripped up from you going into a very, very critical game this past weekend, and you still play at a level that is so poor that your words could mean something more if your actions were more. So the fact that your actions were, you did not want to speak to the media after the game. You just left. They had to find you. Then you had to give whatever it was going to be that you were saying. Now, on one side, you'll say he needed time to cool off. Maybe he was going to say some things he didn't need to say. He said all the right things when he finally spoke. But, Doug, you are the quarterback of the Washington football team. And there's a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous expectation that comes with being that to the fan base. And the things that he could have done to help himself out, the things he could have done to garner support from his teammates, he doesn't do.
Right.
He doesn't do those things. And so I think the level of trust, the level of belief, the idea that he understands the level and magnitude of what his accountability to the team and to himself has to be the player that he wants to be or needs to be. Sure. It makes me question, does he want to play? Do you even want to be a football player in the National Football League? I know you want all of the things that go with it, like to be able to be important when you go to the club.
Right.
But do you really want to be a football player, you know, in the National Football League? It doesn't match up for me.
Well, look, I do think there's a couple of things. I think Urban Meyer kind of called it. I mean, without saying, he never questioned Haskins' talent, although I would, based upon the scouts I talked to, there's a lot of time, like, he just has bad feet. And, you know, no matter how talented your arm is in the National Football League, especially now, like, if you got bad feet, I mean, there's definitely a premium set, not just on the Lamars of the world in terms of with your feet and running for a first down, but, you know, pocket agility he just didn't have and pocket awareness he just didn't have. But more than anything, there's just a level of maturity, even with, like, even in how he's handling this, right? Like, look, man, to err is human, okay? Should he gone to a strip club, win, lose, whatever? Like, no, of course you shouldn't have. But it's the woe is me, you know, I'm just a human being, like, bro, that ain't it. And I don't actually care about what the fans think, okay? Because the fans, it's what the players think. As we discussed earlier with Jalen Hurts, like, you ain't going anywhere unless the guys in that locker room buy in. And when you do something dumb, like, most of those guys would be like, all right, I'm pissed because he risks our season. He risks my livelihood. But you better go in there and ball out, right? You better go in there and you better walk in, own a huddle. And he just doesn't. And this is just a case of, nobody wants to hear this, but, like, look, sometimes just because they'll draft you in the first round doesn't mean you go. It doesn't mean you go. Jim Calhoun used to tell his guys that all the time. Like, he would say, it's not about the first contract, it's about the second contract, right?
Right.
And it's true, because you get in there and they're going to, your first round pick, they're going to throw you in before you're ready. And if you can't swim out of the deep end, you better give those guys, those 53, 52 other eyes, reason to believe that, no, he's a dude, he's got this under control. And there's almost nothing this guy has done that shows he's ready for the job. Even last year when they won, and he's taking a selfie with a fan instead of taking a knee at the end of the game. Like, guys realize this. Guys are like, yo, he's
about other things. His focus isn't where it needs to be, Doug.
Right. Which I understand that if you're driving and you're listening to us, LeVar Arrington, Doug Gottlieb, Dan Patrick show, you're like, look, they're professional, they're men. Like, no, but a quarterback affects all those other guys. They all want to make more money. They all want to win games. And when you're not about just those two things, making everybody money and winning games, then they're not about you, right? Is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what it's really like inside an NFL locker room?
I mean, yeah, it is. Here's the thing, Doug. These guys could have locked up a playoff position, a playoff spot, with a win.
Yes.
So when you look at, I'm never.
And it wasn't like they're playing the 85 Bears, right? They're playing. Their coach's old team. Like, you don't think he wants...
Without their best player.
Right. You don't think that... But you don't think that Ron Rivera wants to kick the Carolina Panthers' ass? I understand it's as amicable divorce as there has ever been. Like, Ron Rivera got his own football team to run, to find the nickname of. He gets to pick the GM. He's going to get to pick the players. Like, it worked out really well for Ron Rivera, right? And Matt Rhule, a guy who comes in from college, gets a chance, plenty of time to prove himself, right? Like, it... But... There is Ron Rivera is a competitor, right? He's a former football player. He is a competitive head coach. He wants to kick their ass. He can go to the playoffs and beat his old franchise, and that's how you play. Like, I can't think of a more disastrous end to this story than what played out this past week.
Doug, they stripped him of his captainship going into this game. Think about that now. You have the ability to lead this team as the most important position on the field going into this game against Carolina, which is a very winnable game, and you could solidify that I may not have been perfect.
Right.
But I dang sure delivered on this. And you get your captaincy stripped away from you. You have a defense that's playing out of their minds right now. And to think that this is the way that people view you, like, bro, let me tell you something. That probably was the nail in the coffin, if you ask me. And I've used the term quite a few times during this show. I don't know why I'm living on that one, but I really believe that sealed his fate. Is that for you to be as high profile a player and draft pick as you were for this team, for the guy who was before Ron Rivera, Gruden, to say, I did not like this dude. He wasn't my guy. I never liked this guy. He's not that good. To continue to show reasons why the focal point of his failure should be on him versus something else. That is, I mean, what do you do where you're I don't like taking negative stances, and I don't like having negative opinions about guys, because I always try to find the positive in what's taking place.
Yes.
But this spells dismissive. It spells narcissistic. It to me, I would be, if I'm Coach Ron Rivera, knowing what we have at stake and he's my quarterback, I'm just mortified. I'm mortified. I'm disappointed that this is what I have to try to ride out the season. We go from clawing and crawling back into a race to try to get the NFC East divisional crown, to get into the playoffs. And because of Alex Smith going down, I have to deal with Dwayne Haskins being my quarterback, and I have zero belief that we can get it done with him. That's got to be a very, very hopeless feeling for the coach and the coaching staff, and that's on him. That is totally on him. That's not on somebody else in this particular situation. That falls squarely on the shoulders of Dwayne Haskins.
This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of former member of the Washington football team, LeVar Arrington. Coming up next. All right, so what now for the Jets? They keep winning games.
Right.
So, okay, Trevor Lawrence appears
to be headed to
Jacksonville.
Right.
Did Sam Darnold save his job? Did Adam Gase save his job? We'll find out next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win it in the Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter and get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. By January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. All right, if you go back a couple, 2 weeks ago, right? Steelers looked like they were going to be a one and done in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts looked like he was the answer in Philadelphia. And the New York Jets were destined to not win a game, draft Trevor Lawrence, trade away Sam Darnold, and begin a completely new football trajectory. But oh, how football changes within 2 weeks, right?
Right.
You fire Greg Williams as defensive coordinator, and you can't go casino blitz and just give away a game like they did against the Raiders. In fact, the Jets have now won two games in a row, which changes things, I would think. But LeVar Arrington, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Let's welcome in Brian Costello. He works for the New York Post. He covers the New York Jets. And Brian, what do you make of this late season turnaround by the Jets?
it's remarkable, guys, because they've been so terrible all year. We were talking about them being one of the worst teams of all time. When you looked at the numbers, yes, their point differential and the way their offense has performed, and now not only have they won two games, they beat two teams that are fighting for the playoffs.
Exactly.
So it's crazy. It just shows you, like what you just said, things change quickly in the NFL, and it's hard to predict how things are going to go.
How do you view a team that where something changes as quickly? I mean, is that fool's gold? Like, how are you guys viewing it?
Yeah, it's fool's gold. I mean, I covered baseball for a long time, and they always said don't pay attention to September baseball because the call-ups and how different it gets. And I think the same thing applies when a team is out of it playing in December in the NFL. Like, this doesn't save Adam Gase's job. He's going to get fired next week. I don't think this, Sam Darnold has gone three games without a turnover for the first time in his career, and it's being talked about like it's an amazing accomplishment here. But, when you actually look at it, he threw for 175 yards yesterday, completed 50% of his passes. He's still, he's the guy who we've seen for 3 years. We kind of know what he is. Now, the Darnold evaluation is a little trickier because there's no Trevor Lawrence now, and you love Justin Fields, you love Zach Wilson. I think there is a decision to be made there for the Jets if Sam Darnold maybe is a guy you keep for another year instead of those guys. But in terms of evaluating Sam Darnold, this doesn't really change anything.
It's okay. Let's work our way back to Darnold. Let's start with Adam Gase. Any thought that he holds on to his job?
No, I don't think there's a chance.
Okay, so now all of a sudden it gets to who the head coach is and what he thinks of Sam Darnold, right? You have a you have a general manager. He's got three first-round picks, and he has Sam Darnold under a rookie contract. But then, of course, you got to make the decision on the fifth year. You can let him play it out as is. In your mind, what's the Joe Douglas becomes the wild card here. He keeps the job. He hires his coach. Who do you think is most likely to be on that short list?
Yeah, I think Joe Douglas is going to be here. He's going to be the GM, and he's going to be the one hiring the coach. I think, I think he's going to be pretty open to interviewing a lot of different people, and I think the names, the top names you've heard, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll for the Bills, Matt Campbell, the Iowa State coach, I think we'll get a look. Wink Martindale, the defense coordinator from Baltimore, Joe Douglas has strong roots with the Ravens, so I think he'll probably get a look. But, I think they're going to do a lot of interviews, and I think the way it's set up, guys, with the world we're living in right now, they could do like 12 Zoom interviews next week and then figure out four or five guys that they want to come to the building and have like longer interviews with. So I think it might be a longer process with the interviews, and I don't think they're going into this with a preconceived idea of who they want. And the Darnold question is going to be a big one, I think, in the interviews. And there's a financial component too. They're not going to pick up his fifth-year option. It's just too much money. So I think they'll let him play out next year. But then you're going to have to pay him in 2022, and you have to decide, is this a guy that you think, even if he has a good year next year, you're going to want to pay? So that's going to be an interesting part, and to see what the coach thinks of him. There's a lot of people who still think highly of Sam Darnold. The draft wasn't that long ago. He's only 23, and there's a lot of people who argue, well, he hasn't been coached well. He hasn't had good receivers. He hasn't had a good offensive line. And all that stuff is true. Well, I just haven't seen enough from Sam Darnold watching every game he's played to make me believe that he's a guy that's going to be special in this league. And, my line with Sam Darnold has become, you can win with Sam. I don't think you're going to win because of him.
I find it so hard to believe with how difficult it is for guys to get jobs, like super, super gifted people who understand scouting, understand coaching, development, game planning, don't get jobs, and we talk about it so much at such length, but we get into situations where we have conversations about how poorly a guy is underdeveloped, how poorly the coaching has been, how poorly the selection of players have been, or what are you going to do? What's the philosophy of the team? First off, how do you mess up so bad where there could actually be so much of that type of a conversation connected to a pro team? And then my second part to that question would be, what is New York looking at? What are the Jets internally from your perspective? What are they trying to create in terms of culturally speaking with their team? Because that seems to be, they're having an identity crisis with the New York Jets.
Yeah, and it's sort of a chicken and an egg thing. Does culture come from winning, or does winning come from culture? Because the Jets have been in this, on this treadmill now for 10 years. You know, the end of their ex-Ryan era wasn't good. The Todd Bowles era was mostly not good except for 1 year, and the Adam Gase era hasn't been good. And they drafted terribly. That's where it starts in my mind. You know, if you look at it, the core of this team should come from those drafts of 2015, 2016, 2017, right, with guys sprinkled in from the last years. They have no one on this team from 2015 draft. They have one person on this team from 2016 and one person from 2017. That, you know, the two guys out of those three drafts, that's a killer. And they just haven't drafted well. They've made terrible decisions also in free agency. Throwing a lot of money at Trumaine Johnson was a disaster a few years ago. They paid Muhammad Wilkerson. That didn't work out. So that's where it starts. And in terms of culture, Lamar, I think it's a good point. You know, every coach that's been here, Rex, Bowles, Gase talked about establishing a culture and hasn't been able to really do it. Rex sort of did it for a few years and then lost it. You know, when you go to teams like the Ravens or the Steelers or the Patriots, there's kind of understood what it means to be a member of those teams. There's no definition of what it means to be a Jet, and there's no older players here passing that down. The longest tenured Jet got here in 2016, so there's no one that kind of teaches the younger players this is the way you go about your business as a professional. This is what it means to be a member of this organization. I think it's a long road to get there because I don't think the Jets are close to that. You know, they don't have guys that are going to be part of this team for a long time, many of them. You know, Mekhi Becton's pretty good. Quinnen Williams is pretty good. I think those guys will be here for a while. But they, you know, Joe Douglas has to work on that. He has to bring better players in here and a good coach, and then I think you start establishing a culture, and maybe in 4 or 5 years they can have that.
That's a long time.
Four or five. You have those three first round picks, right? So I mean,
they have two first round picks this year, two first round this year, two first round next year.
All right. The great thing is if you don't need a quarterback. If you decide, hey, we don't need a quarterback this year, somebody else does, there's still going to be a tremendous amount of value on that first-round pick, and you can flip that into picks later on in the draft, which is where the real value is, you know, where you load up on either late first or you second-round and third-round picks, and that's how you replenish your wide receiving core. That's how you continue to fix that offensive line. That's how you give your new coach a chance to kind of build whatever that new culture is. The big question is, who is that coach and what does he think? And what does Joe Douglas really think of Sam Darnold? That's kind of where we are, correct?
Yeah, that and the number two pick is going to have a lot of value if one of these quarterbacks kind of rises up the board. Right now it feels like it's Trevor Lawrence and then a lot of question marks, but we've seen how the draft works.
Josh Allen, you look at what's happened with the Chargers, and you start to go like, all right, these guys they're ready to play. They can play right away. You talk yourself into something because in previous drafts, even recently, young quarterbacks have been able to show a tremendous amount of immediate return on the investment, which is going to make somebody needs a quarterback. Plenty of teams need a quarterback, and somebody's going to reach even if they know there's a massive drop off after Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and that might be the way Joe Douglas goes. Like what you said, the more picks, the better. They have 9 picks right now going into the draft. You know, and they need, I call this a Noah's Ark offseason. They need 2 of everything. I mean, people talk about the Cleveland Browns yesterday not having the wide receivers. I kind of chuckled. I said, all right, name me the Jets secondary. Go ahead. They were playing guys who had no business being on an NFL field. So, you know,
And they won,
you know, but it was like the people acted like, oh, the Browns have no receivers. Well, the Jets have had no cornerbacks all season. So that was an even match. But, you know, they need, like, you can go through the list. They have a left tackle. They have a defensive tackle. They might have a wide receiver in Denzel Mims. Other than that, they need everything, you know. So, Joe Douglas knows he has to restock this, so trading number 2 pick could be appealing if they feel like, A, keep Sam Darnold, or B, you draft a quarterback a little bit later than number 2. Maybe you move down 4 or 5 spots and take a quarterback there. That could happen, too.
All right.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Hey, Brian, happy New Year to you. Hope you've had a great holiday season, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy.
Brian Costello, Jets beat reporter for the New York Post. It's always at least entertaining, even if it's not good football. Rick Bucher in an hour, but coming up next with LeVar Arrington, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Can the Chiefs just flip the switch when they get to the playoffs? We'll discuss next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
With LeVar Arrington, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Dan the Danette's taking a much-needed time off. All right, so yesterday, got to be renewed hope in the AFC that there are teams that can compete with the Chiefs. The Chiefs held on for dear life, and with the help of a dropped interception and a missed 39-yard field goal, the Chiefs survived the Atlanta Falcons in Kansas City. Nonetheless, they have the number one seed. They'll have home field advantage throughout. They'll have a week off, and you know they'll be able to rest next week and into the following weekend with that one bye that one team receives in both the NFC and the AFC. This is Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers after their come-from-behind win.
Victory is sweet. It's been a month or so for us, so we've been through some adversity. But there's growth in the midst of that, and hopefully, you know, these negative experiences can galvanize us, man, and strengthen us as we move forward. We've got some big battles that lie ahead, man, but today we're humbled and honored to be AFC North champs. When we started this journey on July 20th, that was the initial goal, and then we go from there. So it's good to be at this point and good to push forward.
All right, so the Steelers come from, 24-7 down to win 28-24 over the Indianapolis Colts. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, they did win 17-14, but it was not pretty. Here's Andy Reid.
Right, well, and they did a heck of a job. I'd take responsibility for that. We've got to just kind of get ourselves back into rhythm here. I think we just weren't sharp.
They weren't sharp. They haven't been sharp, and they've kind of been what I count to is the old parental don't play with your food, and they seem to have played with their food. I guess LeVar here. The good news is they find a way. Winning teams find ways to win games. And nothing says that more than the Kansas City Chiefs. On the other hand, here's a below average team that with an interim head coach on that's a dome team playing outdoors in Kansas City that gave them everything they wanted and in reality really kind of outplayed them. How hard do you think it is for the Chiefs to just flip that switch? Because when they play in the playoffs, they may play a team that is a little bit banged up because they will have had to play, you know, the first weekend of the playoffs. On the other hand, one would think they're playing a team that's much sharper, that's coming off of winning a game. How difficult do you think it is for the Chiefs to flip that switch?
They're really as good as advertised, but they have struggled. They struggled against the Falcons. They struggled against the Saints. They struggled against the Dolphins. Heck, they struggled against the Broncos. They barely won against the Bucks. They barely won against the Raiders. It's interesting because when we look at these games that the Chiefs are playing in, if you go all the way back to the Carolina Panthers game, which they won by 2 points, Doug, right? They win by 2 points in the Panthers game. They win by 4 points versus the Raiders, 3 points versus the Bucks. All right, 6 points versus the Broncos, 6 points versus the Dolphins, three. I don't think that this is a matter of them playing with their food at all. I mean, they were in reality they needed to win that game in overtime. If this is like just all things given, they should have been taking the overtime. That was you got a Pro Bowl kicker that misses an easy field goal, and that's how they win the game. Yeah. That doesn't bode well to say heading into the playoffs that this is a team that can dominate the playoffs. This is, to me, they should be very concerned with this very off and on way of playing because we're looking at how good they are, and they are that good, but they're allowing themselves to be in games that are way more competitive than what they should be. So in a way, they're so good that we're finding ourselves saying, wow, they're so good that they're playing with their food. They're so good that they can turn it off and they can turn it on when they want to turn it off and turn it on, which at the moment is it's a justifiable conclusion to draw because they're continuing to win and they locked up the number one seed. But if you're getting to the nitty-gritty of what it's going to take to be able to win in the playoffs, when that level of competition ratchets up a little bit more than what it is currently right now, I don't think that is a positive deal for Kansas City, and it leaves them susceptible to having that one game where that one team does make the field goal, where that one team does get it. I mean, if you think about it, Atlanta had the game won.
Yeah.
They had the game won. The field goal to take it into overtime was after a late heroic, you know, drive by Kansas City to get back onto the field, and which, by the way, if Buddy catches the interception in the end zone, the game is over. So if you go through the film of what Kansas City is doing right now, there's nothing that says to me this is an unbeatable team. This doesn't say to me the King of Beast is in the Serengeti and all things fall under my rule and control, and if you see me, you better get out of the way. I do not find them to be a super intimidating team today.
You know, what's interesting is LeVar Arrington and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Dan. That's Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. It's interesting, you know, last year, obviously they fell behind in all three, you know, two playoff games and in the Super Bowl. And, you know, they have that magic elixir between Tyreek Hill and his speed and, of course, Pat Mahomes. And they still have that. And so the ability to come from behind and the confidence that they can – that they can win any, like, it's important to not lose these games, right? Because it builds this self-confidence that, you know, we're, as opposed to Baltimore, for example, who, because they've fallen behind last 2 years in the playoffs, and with the exception of one game when they've trailed at halftime, Lamar Jackson has not won a game. He's only won one game when he's trailed at the half during his short tenure as starting quarterback in the NFL. There's a locker room that you could see being a little deflated if they get down a couple touchdowns, as opposed to Kansas City, where they just keep playing, assuming that Pat Mahomes can bail them out. Just like, look, he wasn't that. He's throwing red zone interceptions yesterday. Like, he's not played as well. They haven't established the running game that people thought they could establish. I thought they could establish with Clyde Edwards-Helaire to start the season. And he hasn't been as efficient as a quarterback as he's been in the past. It's still been good. So I don't want to undersell that winning a game is still important. And of most course. NFL games are decided within a touchdown. And so if you win by a point, you win by 50 points, it doesn't really matter. But there are absolutely signs of what you're saying, which is, like, look, if you have one or two performances, you're like, you know, you didn't get up for a game. You had some guys sitting out because of COVID. You're just getting through the season. But this is a trend, and they're letting inferior teams just hang around and hang around and hang around. And you do that long enough, and you're going to get your ass beat.
And
we all know.
And why let that happen in the playoffs? Yeah. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, man, you're looking at it. I almost looked at it like, just lose this game. Just lose to Atlanta. You got middle linebackers picking you off in the red zone. You know, you're almost basically throwing away the game before you threw to win the game. Just get this one out of the way. Just lose. That's how I was feeling, because that's how poorly they were playing, and that's how much hope that Atlanta had in that game, was to win the game. And again, in the playoffs, I'm sorry, that's not a drop ball in the end zone. That is not a dropped interception in the end zone. So Doug, if you're in the playoffs and you allow yourself to play your way into that type of scenario again, I don't think you pull through. I think they're set up right now, unless they come out and they say, or they show to themselves and to the rest of the National Football League with this last week of games coming up. If you don't go out there and make a statement versus we're resting for and we're going to have a bye, so we're just going to take our time. If you don't go out there and make a statement, I believe they are primed for a upset in the playoffs, and I do not see that being such a surprise at the moment. I would not be shocked or blown away if the Kansas City Chiefs get upset early on in the playoffs.
This is Pat Mahomes on knowing he has to step up.
I got to focus on fixing the things that I made mistakes on during the game. There was a lot of reads, a lot of protection calls, a lot of adjustments at the line of scrimmage that I did made wrong or that I didn't make the right way that put us in bad positions.
They were pressuring them. They were getting a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, as a defender, I study the teams. I study the games from a coach's standpoint that as a former defender. The one thing that I've noticed about Patrick Mahomes is he's at his best a lot when he ventures out of the pocket. The more he buys time, the more his guys are moving around downfield, and he finds them. No matter if it's a cross field, he's going to find them because they're going to find the open spaces. Defenses are starting to catch on to the fact that if you push up field too far, Pat is going to step underneath you, step out, and he's going to spank you once he leaves that pocket. Your actual best bet against Pat Mahomes is getting to him through the center of his offense. If you can stop the run, limit the run, and limit and force them to be the dimension of just throwing the ball, you have to be able to keep Pat Mahomes in the pocket. It might sound a backwards, but you cannot allow for Pat Mahomes to either climb above the outside rush or underneath it to get out on the outsides of the defense. The moment he outflanks your defense is the moment where you are most vulnerable to what Pat Mahomes does best, which is find his receivers downfield, streaking, crossing, settling in. It's just very difficult to cover that long, no matter who you are. And then when you have a quarterback that can find them while they're doing that, that has been the strength of this Kansas City Chiefs team. And I think losing Edwards-Helaire has been a tremendous blow for them. Yep. And not having that extra dimension to kind of keep things loosened up. I thought Le'Veon Bell looked good for the first time since being away from the Steelers. I haven't liked him in New York, and he didn't look really good when he first got to Kansas City. That could be one to look for that may be an addition as a positive addition moving forward. But I'm telling you right now, there guys are figuring out how to get to Patrick Mahomes at this point. And if they put that together, if they put those packages together where they can actually penetrate, get to him through the center of that defense or through the center of that offense, that's going to make for a very interesting game with the Kansas. And it has made for interesting games against Kansas City.
As LeVar Arrington, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. This, by the way, just in from Washington at his Monday morning presser, Ron Rivera said that Taylor Heinicke will start if Alex Smith can't go Sunday in Philadelphia. In other words,
Haskins is done. It's
Haskins is done.
Yeah, it's done.
Right? Yes. He's third string quarterback after getting a chance.
He probably will be inactive.
Yes. But yes. And look, it's hard enough when last year the coaching staff wasn't in on drafting him. The front office was. They changed front offices. You have a new coaching staff, and you kind of begrudgingly got some opportunities. I'm sure, you know, like, look, the owner was the one who wanted him taken because the owner's kid went to high school with him and believed in him. And, you know, it's really hard when somebody who didn't draft you, who didn't believe in you, is now your coach and you have to kind of earn that. But he's done everything in his power to do the opposite of earning the respect of the coaching staff and the players, not just in terms of his play, but, you know, some of the nonsense. It's not a huge deal that you go to a strip club, but it's when you compound it with the COVID stuff, with some of the other things that you've done, with other people saying you don't truly get what it means to be a starting quarterback for the Washington football team, all of those things, like that, this is the tombstone has been engraved upon. He's done as a Washington football player. And the question is, what is his? He's got to go somewhere where he can sit, learn, and get the stamp of approval the way that Bridgewater did, the way that Jameis is trying to, obviously maybe not New Orleans, but somewhere if he wants to get back in this league. Because when you're a third-string quarterback after being a starter and a first-round draft pick in your second year, that does not bode well for what teams are going to think of you.
Well, I think his reputation is tarnished and damaged, and that's going to be the biggest part of this, Doug, is that when you look at that position, you have to have such mental stability. You have to have the, you know, you have to have the capacity to be able to take on the heaviest of factors and be able to manage. I mean, you listen to Pat Mahomes talking about making the calls at the line and the in-game adjustments and all those things. But then now you're talking about managing your own emotions, managing your teammates' emotions. It's just so much that goes into that position. And it just appears that Dwayne Haskins has totally deferred on accepting the responsibility that comes with being at that position.
In for Dan of the Nets, he's LeVar Arrington. I'm Doug Gottlieb. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned.
Well, ask me, Doug.
Growing up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I watched the Packers play the Titans last night. Mm-hmm. As a defensive player, snow football game.
Yep.
Like it, dislike it. What's it like?
Back then,
you play it. I mean, pick what you want.
After living out here in L.A., I would never want to be cold ever again in my life. In fact, I feel like for all the toughness and the amazing lessons I learned being a lunch pail, hard hat kid growing up in Pittsburgh, I feel like my parents cheated me out of having a nice life by living on the East Coast. And
I think you had a pretty good life, though.
I love you guys. I love everybody.
It worked out pretty well for
you. It worked out really well, but I'll tell you what, I probably would have been a much happier person growing up if my realities consisted of palm trees and beach sand and waves and water. I'm just saying, you know, seeing dolphins.
Okay, so but what's it like to play in a snow football game?
It's sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's really not fun. Like sometimes it just feels really good to be out there and to know that you're doing something that is in the type of elements that it calls for your focus and just ability to adapt and to adjust. It's pretty empowering. Right, like you go out, you don't have any sleeves on. It's cold. You'll see guys go out in warm ups with no shirts on. Like it's a battle mentality. It's a warrior's mindset, right? But in reality, it's funny because I always said this was the reason why Penn State football teams lost later in the years. Joe didn't believe in having heated seats, so I'm cool with the playing on the field and it being cold part, Doug. But the problem you have is when you only got two little jet heaters on either side of aluminum seats, aluminum benches, yeah. Right? And those are the only places you can heat up. You look across and the other teams that are playing in this horrible cold weather have heated benches. So they're sitting there in their jackets, their helmets are.
Didn't
that
make it tougher? That make it tougher?
We lost. We lost them games, and I don't know that it makes you. It may make you tougher.
Yeah.
But it's just you don't have a competitive edge if going into the first plays of the series, your helmet feels like a brick.
Yes. Well, that could be problematic. All right. Coming up next. In case you missed it, the Clippers were an embarrassment yesterday. How bad? We'll talk about it in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.